We begin today by talking about Geneva, because that's the place where behind closed doors a trade panel is hearing final arguments on the legality of Australia's world-first tobacco plain packaging laws. The World Trade Organization established the panel, which is strangely shrouded in secrecy, after five countries complained that plain packaging breached trade laws. The panel has heard arguments all week, including from the Australian government. However, a ruling is not expected until next year or even the year after. So you may be asking yourself, why are some countries challenging plain packaging when it's designed to save money and lives? You may have some thoughts, and in fact, your texts are coming through right now, 0418 226 576. I'll get to them in a moment. And we've got an entry on our Facebook page as well. Just look for RN Afternoons. But to open up discussion about this, Kylie Lindorf is the chair of Cancer Council Australia's Tobacco Issues Committee. And Kylie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael.
Kylie, just tell us, if you wouldn't mind, if you even know, what are some of the arguments being mounted against our plain packaging laws?
So I should preface this by saying I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a trade lawyer. I'm more public health. But what we know is on the public record is that the countries are claiming that Australia's plain packaging laws are discriminatory. They discriminate against some tobacco products. They're potentially more trade restrictive than they need to be, and that they infringe upon trademark rights. So they're kind of the general arguments that are being put forward in that trade area of disputes. And one thing to keep in mind with this is of the five countries that had initially opposed Australia's plain packaging, British America Tobacco said they were contributing to Ukraine and Honduras's costs, and Philip Morris admitted that they were contributing to the Dominican Republic's costs. So you kind of need to, you know, think about whether it is the countries themselves that have issue or whether it's the tobacco industry are really sort of egging them on.
Now, you've mentioned them, at least some of them, in passing, but perhaps we should list the five countries in total.
Sure. So it's Ukraine, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Cuba and Indonesia. However, on the 29th of May, the panel actually advised that the Ukraine had requested to suspend their proceedings. So Ukraine have essentially stepped back for now. So there are four countries still in dispute.
Now, I'm going to take a wild stab here and say that those five countries probably have some economic issues of their own, not all of them. Indonesia's forging ahead, but certainly if you look at Indonesia, in that case, it's got some of the highest rates of smoking in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Smoking rates are very high in Indonesia. They have quite an active sort of tobacco industry there. So it's difficult to know really what is behind these disputes. But certainly the Australian government and all legal sort of commentary that's independent thinks that Australia's on quite good grounds. And the Australian government certainly said they're willing to defend their right to protect the public health.
All right, so obviously when the tobacco industry was unsuccessful in its High Court challenge in Australia and the Australian government was given permission to enact these laws, this was the next stage, I take it, in the industry's move to stop it spreading globally and perhaps retrospectively attacking the Australian legislation in the process.
Yeah, I think they were happening concurrently. I can't remember off the top of my head sort of what dates it all happened, but they're at two different levels. The dispute in Australia's High Court was around our constitution, and this dispute that we've been talking about is around international trade issues. So they were probably going to run every argument they could, and that's certainly sort of how it's panning out. But absolutely you're right that these types of international challenges are squarely about trying to scare off other countries and going ahead with plain packaging. And fortunately for public health anyway, that hasn't really worked. We've seen Ireland and the UK very recently have passed legislation. France has legislation in through the first stages of Parliament. A whole range of other countries are lining up to go ahead. So, you know, that's really good news for many smokers out there who will hopefully be encouraged to quit by having plain packaging come into force.
How long now have we had plain packaging legislation in place in Australia?
It became mandatory on the 1st of December 2012. So we're a little bit over 2 years into plain packaging here.
Which I take it is a reasonable amount of time for your organisation and also the ABS to collect data as to the impact of that packaging. What have you discovered?
Yeah, look, the Australian government funded a range of research, and it was published recently in the British Medical Journal, a special supplement that came out. There were around 14 studies there that came out, and it showed that absolutely plain packaging has largely achieved its specific aims in that first year. So they looked at very much the first year, and they were to reduce the appeal of the packs, to make sure the health warnings really stood out on those packs, and to reduce the ability of the pack to mislead that some products might be less harmful than others. So there's a whole range of studies done, and they are absolutely pointing in the right direction that plain packaging is doing as it was intended to do.
So have you seen noticeable rates of smoking drop in the last couple of years?
The latest figures on prevalence in Australia show that we've actually had the largest drop that we've seen in 20 years. So back in 2010, our smoking rates were 15.1%. In 2013, they were 12.8%. So that's a really significant drop. But we need to remember that that all won't be attributable to plain packaging. We've had large tax increases. We've had extra smoke-free laws. We've had, you know, ads on TV that have encouraged people to quit. So Australia's always had a really comprehensive approach to tobacco control. We've continued that approach, and plain packaging is sort of the latest weapon in our arsenal, and everything we're doing is working very well to bring smoking rates down.
My guest is Kylie Lindorf, who's the chair of the Cancer Council Australia's Tobacco Issues Committee. Kylie, if I may, I might throw some of our listeners' texts at you, because I think they're raising some really interesting points. Tina says, Michael, you missed the point on plain packaging. It's not to encourage quitters so much as discouraging young starters. From what I hear, it's helped to put off young would-be smokers. It's incremental. We banned advertising in cinemas and TV, then in buildings, etc. That's, I'd take it, billboards. Each step worked to add to the last step. Each on its own could have been pointed at as not hugely effective. The fight by the cigarette companies against plain packaging, I think, shows more clearly than any than any stats that it can, will, and does work. Is Tina right when she's saying that it's actually to encourage people, discourage people from taking up in the first place more than trying to stop quitting?
Look, I think initially that's how we thought it would work the best, and certainly the studies on youth show that it's absolutely doing that. So youth have said there's reduced appeal of the packs, it's decreased any positive images they had of the packs, and increased really negative images. So absolutely, the more we can do to stop kids taking it up, the better, and plain packaging appears to have been very effective at that. But the really good thing is that as well, we've seen that it has increased quitting thoughts and attempts among existing smokers. So, you know, absolutely great bang for our buck there.
Well, I must say our texters are divided on the impact of those photos. My daughter thinks these pics are yuck, but it has no impact on her smoking habit. Another one says, my daughter, absolutely no impact. Someone else says, and this is from Will, who was our first texter, been off the smokes for 3 months, and those pictures definitely played a part in it. There was no denying the harm they cause every time you had one. Does the CEO of Philip Morris smoke, wonders Will? Do we know, by the way? Do the heads of tobacco smoke?
Many of their executives don't smoke, and when you ask them, they say it's harmful and I've chosen not to, which is, you know, rather interesting. But the issue of, you know, not everything works for every smoker. So some people will say that the health warnings don't have an impact. Others will say it do. Some people say it's price that caused them to give up. Other people say it doesn't. And that comes back to why we need that really comprehensive approach, is that it's all just adding to the reasons why smokers should give up. And it might be just one thing that eventually, you know, pushes the smoker to say, that's it, I've had enough, I'm quitting.
So it's down to the individual. But I must say, in terms of trend, and you pointed out some quite positive results in the last couple of years in terms of a drop in the rate of smoking, but those who are still taking up smoking as choice, is it still young people? Is it still mostly girls?
Look, unfortunately, most people do take up smoking when they're children. It's not mostly girls. In most age groups now, it is still boys that are sort of have higher rates than girls.
Oh, really?
It changes around a bit from year to year, but it's a little bit of a kind of a myth that won't go away that, you know, teenage girls are taking it up in droves. In fact, the latest or the last stats we had on youth rates of smoking were that they were at their lowest levels ever in Australia, so only 4% of 12 to 15 year olds were smoking and 13% of 16 to 17 year olds. So absolutely for youth smoking, they're in a dive and they're going down, and we certainly want to keep them down, and plain packaging will definitely add to that effect.
Mark has texted in from Canberra to say, sadly, I've seen holders for cigarette packets for sale which hide the look of the packet. Is that kind of coverage of images that may offend happening in some venues?
We saw a little bit of talk about that when plain packaging first came out, and in fact we heard talk about that when the pictures first came on the packs in 2006, but there are very, very few around, very few smokers bother to do that, and research has actually shown that if a smoker is affected that much by the pictures, that they go to the effort to cover it up, that the pictures actually already had its effect.
There you go.
You know, they've been disturbed, they've gone to lengths to cover it up, so it's had an impact.
And just very quickly, just to finish off here, Kylie, if Geneva and the World Trade Organization is hearing the latest arguments today, the final arguments today, why, for a start, is it also secret? And the second question I have for you on top of that is, why could it take up to 2 years to hear the result of it all?
My understanding is that most WTO panel hearings are sort of behind closed doors, and I guess it's that, you know, there are arguments put forward by each side and they try to settle these disputes. They will put out reasoning when the panel makes its report. My understanding also is that this is not the final argument, so they might be the final arguments for this hearing of the panel, but there'll be further submissions from both parties and the panel may actually sit again. So that's why I think it is quite a long process, and the panel has said that the earliest they're likely to make a decision is around the first half of next year.
Well, so, I won't hold my breath then.
No, don't.
Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.